Pittsburgh town, smoky old town, Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh town, smoky old town, Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh town, smoky old town, solid steel from a Keysport town, Pittsburgh. Lord God, Pittsburgh.
Hey, everybody.
Okay, right up top, Dave. Right up top.
You can't stop in the middle of the haze.
No, but listen, I think we need to address the elephant in the room.
Do you want to do like a pre-episode thing? Because I was in the middle of the haze.
No, Dave, it's Pittsburgh football week. We have to talk about it.
The thing?
Yeah. Look, Mike Omar Epps, Tomlin, he already decided that he's going to be there, so we have to address it.
Well, I know, but we're going to talk about it later. I mean, I just need to get through the intro.
Oh, right. Sorry. Yes, of course.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
Dave. We are going to talk about it, though.
Yes, Dylan. Right? That was a joke. We're going to talk about it later. That was a joke. It was a bit. We do bits on the Friday Fumble the whole time. I don't know why you're insisting on doing this during the record. We could have talked about this before. Of course we're going to talk about it. How can you have an episode of Browns versus Pittsburgh with that guy starting and the other guy starting? I mean, it's going to come to a head. We have to talk about it. And I think, Mr. Craig was fairly adamant about this, that we had to talk about it. So we're going to just, trust me, we're going to talk about it. I don't know why you chose to do this now.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Hey, everybody. It's time for your...
But, Dave, last year...
Son of a shit!
Last year, you kept saying that we were going to do it.
But that
I
was
just got a text from Mr. Craig.
That was a joke.
He just reminded me.
It was a joke. Okay? I mean, listen. I'm very stressed right now. Okay? Last week was a lot to deal with. We're in a win or stay at home situation. It's a lot. I don't know how to tackle this week. Football wise, humor wise, fumble wise. It's just a lot. Will you just let me start the episode?
I'm sorry. Yep. Yeah, of course. I'm sorry.
Hey, everybody. It's time for your Browns Friday Fumble.
Fumble.
Don't try to pick it up and run. My name is Dave.
I am Dylan.
And we are here to talk Browns football.
Indeed, Areno.
And boy, oh boy, has it been a week. Dylan, where to start, where to begin, where to start, where to begin? What we just witnessed on the field this past Sunday, Dylan.
Yep.
It was a prime example of football and life coaching malfeasance. I've criticized Stefanski before. I cannot in good conscience continue to support this regime of barely qualified middle managers that seem hell-bent on driving this once great franchise, recently quite great franchise, into the ground for its first time in its existence. And it's existed for 75 years, Dylan.
I have to admit, Dave, I was on the fence last week, you remember. But this week's performance, an absolute travesty to watch, especially for a couple of real football brains.
We are
like
serious, serious football brains.
Tough to watch.
And I like, here's the odd part, Dylan. I like where the problem comes from.
Of course.
But it's gone too far. I love Kevin Stefanski's confidence, but that confidence has turned into hubris, and it's a major problem.
Yeah.
And granted, this man looks like Kevin Love spent his 20s sowing his oats in the CrossFit gym scattered across the greater Northeast Ohio area. So it comes as no surprise that he thought he could handle more than he bit off here.
Yeah, he definitely did, Dave. And typically, a head coach would have surrounded himself with, a staff that could ground him, bring him back to reality, check his ego at the door, that kind of stuff. But Kevin's managed to surround himself with basically just yes men and sycophants. I mean, this was clearly a recipe for disaster from the outset. And honestly, I'm not sure how a couple of football tycoons like us got so bamboozled.
Well, I thought they were too big to fail, Dylan. You can't blame us. Call us what you want, but when a true football guy like me and a true football guy like you see a head coach stack up 10 wins their rookie season after inheriting a massive train wreck from the previous staff, anyone would have fallen under this guy's spell. I mean, oh my God, is he... He's a supermodel. I mean, how can, like, he could... It doesn't matter what he's doing. I'm for it.
You're absolutely right, Dave. I mean, Kevin Stefanski has shown up in some of the steamiest fantasies of all folks across Northeast Ohio. I mean, if he isn't showing up on the sidelines, we know that those pecs are going to be there, you know?
Listen, it's not even really his fault, although he thought he could handle it like the daddy he is. Someone, and I'm going to go ahead, and I don't like to use this kind of language on the podcast, Dylan, but some A-double hockey sticks hole double dog dared Kevin Stefanski to bench his top four wide receivers. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. It's crazy. We have a chance to clinch the playoffs this week. I'm not going to do that to my football team. And then that b-hole told him, well, if you're not going to do it, you're a chicken.
What? What?
A chicken. So he Marty McFly'd it.
Are you kidding me?
He Marty McFly'd it and said, nobody calls me chicken. You know what? Dylan, we're great. I know that. We're probably the best to ever do it. But this guy has never read The Tortoise and the... what did the turtle race?
I have literally no idea what you're talking about, Dave. What is this? The 2020 Animaniacs reboot featuring the Warner Brothers and the Warner sister Dot, brought to you by Hulu?
It's not important. I'm off the rails. The point is...
Clearly.
Daddy Stefanski thought he could waltz into Snoopy Life Stadium like it was own House Bill 6 Stadium and run the Jets out of there, like, mind you, the Cowboys are about to do to us back in Week 4, with no starting receivers? Is this the Twilight Zone?
I mean, honestly, Dave, who does this a-hole think he is? Paul freaking Brown?
Hold on. Hold on. You just reminded me of something. Here, okay. I wrote this down Sunday, and this is going to require a bit of an just put in the helmet hit. Okay, Dylan, I've collected my thoughts. Bear with me on this, because it's going to go back, way back into Cleveland Browns lore, some history, all the way back to 1950. There have been whispers and rumors floating around the seedy internet forums and Peabody's bathroom stalls for years about one game in 1950 where Paul Brown decided that the Philadelphia Eagles were so effing terrible that he was going to show up and not throw a single pass and win the game.
Wow, that is... I mean, honestly, Dave, it sounds like an eerily similar situation that the Browns were facing against the heedless single win Jets of last week.
Yes, Dylan. But lo, and listen forthwith, as the tale ascends even the greatest heights of which you are imagining within your mind's eye. Join me on a journey back through the sands of time, where the Cleveland Browns were stalwart championship contenders. A better time indeed for the Forest City.
Welcome to the Higbee's Friday football program, featuring the Friday Fumblers themselves, Dillington Fairfield and Sterling Davidson. Coming to you live on WERE 1300 kilohertz, Cleveland Browns flagship radio station.
Hey, hey, hey! My name is Sterling.
And I'm Dillington.
And we are here to talk about Browns football, which is not nearly as popular as baseball. But we're still here to talk about it once a week during this overly long, in my opinion, 13-game season. Thank you for tuning your dial to WERE, and we, the boys over at Higbee's, are glad you made it. I know for one thing, the Christmas shopping at Higbee's this year was downright swell.
You said it, Sterling. I myself picked up a bottle of some real French perfume for a real dish I've been calling on. What a huge day for Paul Brown and the Brownies this past week, Sterling. They took a direct challenge from Eagles coach Greasy Neal and passed it with flying colors, beating those bird brains 13-7. But that's not the big news.
No, sir. The big news is that Paul Brown heard an old Greasy Neal complaining that the Browns overused the new innovation, the forward pass, in their first victory over his Eagles. And I guess Paul Brown took that personally. The Browns didn't throw a single pass all day and still managed to squeak out a win over those dirty birds.
Indeedy they did. And it was not an exciting game at all, Sterling. The Browns rushed it 41 times for only 68 yards, but they did it enough with defense, featuring an interception returned for a touching down by Warren Lahr, and a couple of groza field goals to take the W in front of 37,400 fans. The defense was able to hold rookie halfback Frank Gore in check the whole game. He only had 50 yards on the ground.
The old three-headed monster, Don Phelps, Rex Baumgartner, and Marion Motley, had a tough time getting anything going on the ground, and Paul Brown's steely resolve kept Otto Graham's arms safely at his sides for this one. But the Browns did enough to get the W and make their record 10-2 on the year, with only the Washington football team to play before the playoffs begin.
Well, we will be back to talk about Washington on a later episode. But as you know, last week, we promised a special surprise. We took a fan poll, and you guys all mailed the station to let us know that the Pittsburgh football is the team you'd like us to have a go at. While they are nowhere near the statue of the Browns, we listened to our fans, so here we go. Let's take a look at those wily fellas from the Iron City.
At tailback, Joe Jerry Can.
At blocking back, Charlie Seabright, which sounds like a tooth powder if you ask me.
At wide back, Jerry Nuzzum. When he tries to run, it's going to be Nuzzum doing.
At left end, Val John Santa Claus.
Left tackle, Lou Allen Wrench.
Left guard, Dick Tomlinson. Ain't that a fine how do you do?
At center, Bill washed the dishes by hand because it's the 1950s. Or have your wife do it.
At right guard, George Hughes, who isn't as Hughes as he should be.
At right end, LB Nickel, but he plays more like LB Penny if you ask me.
Over on the defense, Sterling, we've got left defensive end, Charlie Mihalich. Why does your heel itch? You got athlete's foot? Well, too bad. In 1950, there's no known cure.
Left defensive tackle, Early Stoutner. I bet he wishes he was a bit more stout on the defensive line.
Middle guard, George Nixitch. I was shaving with my straight razor and got a Nixitch.
Right defensive tackle, Daryl Hogan. Is he working on his victory garden and using his hoe again?
At right defensive end, Jack Wiley, who isn't wily enough to tackle any of the Browns' running backs.
At left linebacker, Bill McPeak, who's definitely not at McPeak performance these days.
Over here at right linebacker, the thing you used to get your boat started, the Jerry Shipke.
At left defensive half, if those Pittsburgh boys are running that ship, it's going to Frank Sinkovitz.
At right defensive half, Jim Finks. And that's what Pittsburgh is, a bunch of Finks.
At the left safety, Shorty McWilliams, who at 5'11" is aptly named.
And lastly, the right safety, Howard Broken Hartley. heartbroken because they lost to the Browns twice this year.
There are a couple of notable backups on the squad. Famous bog monster Bob Belong.
Joe Gasparilla, who drinks sarsaparilla.
Veteran Walt Zott, whose knees are shot.
And Frank Wido, but this week it'll be more like Frank Crido.
All right, Dillington, it's time to predict a game. But not this week's game against Washington Football. Our boss, Mr. Craig, is apparently going to hold us to this contract of doing whatever happens in regards to the Natural History Museum. And word is he drove his Studebaker over there.
Oh, fine vehicle, that.
He had just received a neck surgery, which was the first of its kind ever performed in the United States of America. Apparently it was successful. After that, he took his Studebaker over to the Natural History Museum, and they told him, Mr. Craig, you run this town, but you also run a highly regarded radio station, WERE over there. We found a note card in a clay pot that was found in ancient Mesopotamia, wherever that is, had instructions on it to give it to us, Sterling Davidson, and Dillington Fairfield, on this specific date in 1950. And you know what?
Oh, my word. What does that card say?
Well, there's a lot on this little... It's a small card, and I can read the writing. It's very small, and it's a little faded. But it says that the Browns, the old Cleveland Browns, will still exist in the year 2020. It says not to ask a lot of questions about that, because it's kind of a complicated story.
Wow, 2020 years. I can't believe man will still be alive. They must have flying cars, a base on the moon, and atomic cars.
Actually, no. The card says none of those things are around. Specifically mentions those three things. But I guess the NFL is still going strong, and the Browns are about to play the Pittsburgh Football for a very important game this week, and we could predict the score.
Well, I think we could do that. Does the card list any relevant facts?
It says the Browns are 10-5, and the Pittsburgh Football are 12-3. Wow, these long seasons. This is incredible.
My goodness. Overly long, if you ask me.
Yeah, more than 13 games. I don't know. Anyway, it says that Pittsburgh's QB is over the hill. He needs to rest for this game. And an uncouth young man is starting for Pittsburgh and has been very rude to a nice gentleman on the Browns in years past. And they had a bit of a dust-up last year. And it also says that if the Browns win, they'll be in the playoffs.
Well, let's think about this. I can't see a Pittsburgh team with a backup rude quarterback getting any more than, say, just around 17 smackaroos. I mean, how could they?
I agree with you there. And if the Browns really can win and be in the playoffs, they'll probably put forth a lot of extra effort and maybe take a few extra pinches of snuff right before the game. And they'll probably put up about 26 points, I'd say.
Well, there you have it. That's the lucky strike means fine tobacco prediction for this coming, I guess, centuries football exposition.
Yes, that brings your LSMFT final prediction to Browns 26, Pittsburgh Football 17. Hey, everybody. Thank you to our intern, Pal Allen, and our friends at Higbee's Department Stores. This has been the Higbee's Friday Football Program, brought to you by Higbee's.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying, yeah. Fun. Looking forward to the weekend.
Pit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on!